Welcome to another message from the Gospel according to Mark. We're studying the Gospel of Mark from the original Greek text. We will read the text, and then we'll translate it, and then we'll read from the Amplified Bible, and we'll make comments on it. The last several classes that we have taught are on the end times, Israel, and Islam. The end times, the Jews and Islam, or Islam and Jews. In 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, we're talking about the coming of the Son of Man. Now, if you look over here on this chart, you will see the cross of Jesus. Christ came as the humble servant. He will return at the end of the church age and gather up all the saved and the church to go with him. At the end of the church age, we find out that at the beginning of this period of time at the seashores of Galilee, Israel was rejecting Jesus. They were dispersed, according to Ezekiel 36:16-19. And then, at the end of the church age, it says, or toward the end of the church age, Israel will be regathered again, Ezekiel 36:20-24. Now, there is this period of time that's called Jacob's trouble. And Jacob's trouble is on Israel. Now, there won't be one saved person go into the tribulation period. There will not be one saved person go into it. But after the rapture takes place, many people believe that there will be thousands and thousands of people saved that have heard the gospel. Now, for 7 years, the earth is going to be in a terrible shape. God is going to run Israel through a washing machine, so to speak. The first half of this tribulation period, they're going to be very happy because they're going to have a temple in Jerusalem again. Now, when we look at the Bible in eschatology and the eschatology of Islam, we see opposite stories. What the Bible says is good, Islam says is bad. What the Bible says is bad, Islam says is wonderful. Now, the book of Revelation talks about a beast, the Antichrist, and a false prophet. Islam's eschatology talks about the Mahdi, which is a direct descendant of Muhammad through Fatima, his daughter, that he'll have exactly the same spirit. He will be a reincarnation of Muhammad. When he's 40 years old, he will be a reluctant leader. They will call him out of Syria, and he will be caused to stand forth and take the banner of Islam. Now, you all hear all over the world that Islam is a religion of peace, that Islam means peace. Now, the word shalom means peace, but that's not what it means. It means agreement. Now, the Muslims talk about Islam is a religion that does not force conversion. Muhammad, when he lived in Mecca, he was a different prophet than what he became a military and political leader in Mecca. His religion basically failed in Mecca. He was forced to run out of there for his life. They were going to kill him because he would not allow people to come into Mecca. His family was the Quraysh tribe, and they ran Mecca. And his family was very powerful and very, very rich people, and so was Muhammad. They always say that Muhammad was poor, that his mother was poor, that his father died before he was born, and all of this. But those tribes, a tribe was a family. If a family was rich, everybody was rich. If a family was poor, everybody was poor. Now, Muhammad was raised by a wet nurse. Only the rich can have wet nurses. Rebecca had a wet nurse. These very wealthy people had wet nurses. The pharaohs had wet nurses. Well, many of the pharaohs, the wet nurses were buried with them. We hear in the book of Bible, in the Bible, that Rebecca's wet nurse followed her into the land of Canaan when she married Isaac. And she stayed with her all the time. The Bible also says that many of the people back in those times of rich and wealthy had wet nurses. They were very important in a culture that had the high and the low in stature. The high always had wet nurses. The mothers did not have to raise the children. The wet nurse would suckle or nurse the child and raise it, and then bring the child back when he was 12 or 13 years old or so. Now, Muhammad was brought back supposedly when he was 5 or 7 years old, according to some stories. My information on Muhammad is basically from the book written by Ibn Ishaq, The Life of Muhammad, the Apostle of God. And it is pro-Islamic, but it tells the different things. That Islam says that Muhammad never did miracles. We know that in Egypt, when Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses and Aaron, that they did miracles also. If you read the book, The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq, this is the earliest biography of him. The earliest sources of him is The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. And he tells you and reiterates the different miracles that Muhammad did. It tells of his true character. When you read the book, you'll find a very, very mentally ill, a very sick individual, a very cruel man, and a man that absolutely was charismatic with those that followed him. But he absolutely demanded the very lives of his people that followed him. Many times he told them to go die on the battlefield. And we see this. Now, in the book of Mark, we'll begin here, and we're going to talk about Islam, Judaism, and the end times. This subject here is the coming of the Son of Man. The coming of the Son of Man, Jesus is going to come for his people here at the beginning of the tribulation period, the end of the church age. And then at the end of the church age, he's going to come in glory. And he's going to bring in a kingdom of God for 1,000 years. And the Judaism, the Jews, Israel, will be the administrators of the kingdom of God. Right now, the church is the kingdom, is the administrator of God's kingdom. The church is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start out here. Alla en ekaines, tesameras metatein philipsin, ekainein ho helios, skotis theisetai, kai he Selene, u, dose, to, feg, goe, altes. But in these the days after the tribulation, that the sun, after the tribulation begins to start, after the sun, he shall be darkened, and the moon, she shall not give her light. And let's go back and read it here in the Amplified Bible, 13:24. In these, the days after the tribulation begins to start. Now, this is probably in the latter part of the tribulation period. In the first part of the tribulation period, Islam says that they're going to move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem, and they're going to build a temple. And the Mahdi, which is the leader, the impersonation of literally Muhammad, that he will make a contract with the Jews and that he will reign for 7 years. The Bible says the Antichrist will reign for 7 years and that he'll make a contract with the Jews. The Jews are going to be allowed to have a temple in Jerusalem and they will be allowed to have sacrifices there. In the middle of this tribulation period, the Bible says that the Antichrist will stand in the temple of God in Jerusalem and say that he is God and worship him. Now, the Bible also says that 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed. And the Bible also says that when the Jews see the abomination desolation, as Daniel the prophet said, take place, that they are to flee to the mountains and let Jehovah God of the Old Testament protect them from the armies of the Antichrist. This is going to happen. We see all of this coming up today. Now let's go back and read this 13 verse 24. And in those days, after the affliction and oppression and distress of that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And Isaiah 13 and verse 10 is where this is all quoted from. The Old Testament is full of prophecies that this would happen. Isaiah tells you about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that the Jews, that the lion will lay down with the lamb and without it being in his belly, that is. And that all of this will take place for 1,000 years. The earth will give its produce. The curse is lifted off the earth and everything. But there's a 7-year tribulation period between the church age and that period of time. And this is what we're talking about tonight. 13 verse 24. 13:25. Kaiho astere esconte et tu urano piptontes, that is, kai he dinames he entes uranois saleg theisonte. And the stars, the asteroids, the comets, they shall out of the heaven falling. All kinds of meteorites are going to hit this earth, it says. And the powers in the heavens, they shall be shaken. And the powers in the heavens, they shall be shaken. And this is Isaiah 34 and verse 4. And the stars shall be falling from the sky. And we're talking about the asteroids, and we're talking about meteorites. And I'm going to tell you something. When they come out of the sky, there's great explosions. There's a meteor crater over there in Arizona that shook this world when that meteor hit the earth. I've got a piece of that meteorite. It exploded like an atomic bomb. It knocked a hole in the ground over there that you could put a city in. There was a meteorite hit Russia one time and wiped out thousands of square miles, just completely devastated it, and burned the forest down and turned it into a wasteland. Another one hit Russia not too long ago, not too many years ago, and shook and broke windows and everything when it happened. Now, during this period of time, there are many asteroids and meteorites going to hit this earth. And the earth will be like a battlefield. All over, people will be killed by these meteorites. Animals will be killed. Forests will be destroyed. The waters of the sea will be destroyed and polluted. And the stars shall be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens shall be shaken. Now let's go to verse number 26. Kai tote opsonte ton huion tu anthropoi, that is, erkomenon, in netheles, meta dinames, poles kai doses. Now this is quoted from Daniel 7 and verse 13. And then they shall see the Son of Man. This is in His glory. After all this takes place, the Son of Man is going to appear in the clouds of heaven. And all the earth are going to see Him in great power. Jesus came in humility. He came secretly here and raptured His people. And now He's going to come in great glory. The Son of Mankind coming in the clouds with power much and glory. With power much and glory. 13:26. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great kingly power and glory, majesty and splendor. Daniel 7:13-14. Verse number 27. Kai tote aspes apostole tus angelus kai episcinaxe tus eclectus autu ecton tesaron anamon ap acru geis hios acrug poino. And then He shall send the angels, Malach in the Hebrew language. Malach, or angelos. Angelos means messenger, angel, it means servant. It also means to protect. It also means a servant, a divinely, what we might call a divine one. One that came from the hands of the divine God, a supernatural being. And these supernatural beings, and they shall be assembled, or they shall collect the ones picked out, the elect of Him, out of the four winds, and from extremity of the earth unto extremity of heaven. Now, the angels are going to go out, and they're going to take out the elect of God. They're going to gather them out. The elect of God. Now, God is going to protect these elect. What elect means ones picked out. Now, the elect here is not the saved of the church age. There are many people being saved during the tribulation period, but many are going to have to give their lives. Matter of fact, I say many. Two out of three, every three Jews are going to be killed, and five out of every six Gentiles are going to die. This earth is going to be a bloodbath. Before Muhammad died, he declared war on the world. And he told them that no two religions, no two opinions will exist in his world. That they're to go out and perform jihad until all surrender and become Muslims. That's his orders. Now, they will tell you over and over and over again that these jihadists, these terrorists and everything are going against the teachings of Muhammad. They are not. They are doing exactly what the Prophet told them to do. They are following his orders. Those that won't go into jihad, those that won't give their life, those that won't fight for Allah, he would have had beheaded. You read his story. You read the story of Muhammad, the life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. Read it yourself. The first verses that he got in Mecca were abrogated or deleted by Allah had changed his mind. In the beginning, there will be no force of conversion. Conversion was not by force, but later on, yes. No Islamic country in the world allows freedom of religion. If you are there, you have to pay jizya. You have to pay a tax because you're not a Muslim. That's how they exist. The Muslims exist by taking taxes. Down to the history of Islam, the most powerful part of Islam was when they were extracting many taxes. And they were expanding their empire and their armies. When they went into places and they converted, there was no money. Because they didn't have to pay taxes. They didn't have to pay to exist. Now, In the Italian community, there were people called godfathers. Godfather was a head of an organization. And that organization was a protective organization. In other words, you had to pay to be protected. Now, you saw the Godfather on television, maybe, and Godfather 2, 3, 4, whatever it was. It's all talking about this protection. In Islam, that's what it is. You have to pay jizya, protection money, or convert, become one of them. That's the way it is all over the world. Every place Islam is, when they go into society, there is problems. There's great political problems. Islam does not go by any laws of any land wherever they liked. When they migrate into your country, they're going to bring Sharia law with them. The Sharia law literally negates any government and any constitution in the world. A Muslim will not adhere to the Constitution of the United States. They're going to adhere to Islam. And they're trying to make America, and it is, what we call Sharia compliant. Now, we had a war in the 1860s over slavery. But in the Muslim world, slavery exists all over the world, including America. A Muslim man, according to Sharia law, can have 4 legal wives, Muslim wives, and all the concubines that he can support. If you go into places like Bakersfield and Los Angeles, you go into these Islamic communities, and you're going to see several wives go there together. Now, many of these people are on welfare and what we call Medi-Cal. All of these, we're raising these people. The Islamic community wants to out-have more kids than you do. Some of the families have 10, 20, 30, 40 children. Ayatollah Khomeini. And they have child brides. They sexually mutilate their women. All of these things. And they're carrying this into every nation wherever they go. And the rape rate in Muslim communities raping other religious groups, women, is horrible all over the world. Wherever it is, it's tremendous. Because a Muslim man can take any woman that he wants if they're an infidel. Or an infidel's wife. It doesn't matter. This happens all over the world. It's in the news, suppressed always. But here it is. We're coming to a period of time, we're going to have Judaism and we're going to have Islam. Two great political religions. And then we're going to have a few Christians that are saved during that period of time. It says that he shall send out his angels, and he shall assemble the elect of him out of the four winds, extremity of the earth, until the extremity of heaven. I'm going to take them out. 27. And then he will send out the angels and will gather together his elect, those who he has picked out for himself, from the four winds and from the four farthest bounds of the earth to the furthest bounds of heaven. Now, is Islam causing trouble in Denmark, the Netherlands, England, France? These are places where they've migrated. The Philippines, wherever they are, we have problems. America. Every time they put a mosque in an area that is sacred ground, those mosques are put in by Islam. People give. Islamic people are forced to give. And also, every person that's not Islamic in every Islamic country is building those mosques because they have to pay taxes high, barely existing. I've seen and heard of people going down in different parts of the world where they go out and gather the wives, the concubines, and they buy them on the slave markets. This is going on all over the world, even in America. It's a what we call a subculture, a hidden culture, a cryptic culture. But it's there. Sharia law is there. Now, 13 and verse 28, we're talking about the second coming. We're talking about the tribulation. We're talking about the end time. We're talking about Islam when we're talking about the Jews. What's going to happen to them? The Jews are going to be allowed to go through this tribulation period, and they're going to get their teeth kicked out. Two out of every three of them are going to die. But the Lord, in the end, will save those His elect. And they will believe. He said, where did you get those wounds in your hand? He said, in the house of my friends, and they will bawl and cry and weep as one weeps for his only begotten son. Because they killed the Son of God. Now here we have a parable. Let's look at the parable. Apo de tes sikes. Mate te tes parabelein. Hote ede ho klados, autes apollos, genete kai ek fine ta phila, genoskete hote ingus, tos pheros estem. And whenever you see the fig tree, learn this, matete, learn. Become by practical experience, become a learner. Learn the parable. When already the branch of her tender, soft, it becomes, and shall put forth the leaves. Now, if you look at a fruit tree, in the springtime, a fruit tree, the limbs will start getting tender. And you'll start seeing buds come out of them and leaves. The leaves, the limbs become very tender and soft when the leaves come out. This is called the resurrection of the tree. When already the branch of her, tender and soft it becomes, and she shall put forth the leaves, you know that near the summer it is. The almond tree is the first tree to blossom. The Bible uses two trees. When you see the almond tree blossom, you know that spring is ahead. Now that happens in February in California and Southern California. That's the early part of the year. We have January, February, March. Well, in February, toward the end of February, we see the almond trees blossom. Now we see also a fig tree. It blossoms. When it begins, the branches become tender and it starts shooting forth leaves. Now the almond tree and the fig tree stand for something. They stand for Israel. When you see Israel going back to the land, when you see them gathered in from all of the earth, every place they're going into Israel and in different places, the end is coming. The end is coming. Jews all over the world give to the reconstruction of the land of Israel. The Zionist movement started in the late 1800s. It escalated. Well, actually, it started in the early 1800s, but it escalated in the late 1800s and early 1900s. They began to buy back the land of Israel. Going there and buy it back, but it was under the Ottoman Empire. They had to pay jizya, and they had to pay double what the land was worth, and they bought it. They bought a crescent part of that land, like a horseshoe, and they began to establish farms and things where nothing would grow before. They planted vineyards. They planted orchards. I have seen those. They planted 10 million olive trees. From Jerusalem to Galilee. 13:29. Hutos kai hemes hotam, ede tauta genomina, noskete, hote ingas esten epi sirax. So also, when you may see these things beginning to happen for themselves, you know, you understand that near it is at the door. At the door. Near it is at the door. When we see Israel coming back in the land, when we see the Islamic world rising and gaining power, we know that the end is near. Let's read this in 28 and 29. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and it puts forth its leaves, you recognize and know that summer is coming. So also, when you see these things happening, you will recognize and know that he is near at the very door. He is near at the very door. He is near at the very door. What door? The door of the end times. The door of the end times. We're going to stop right there this evening. Our Father, thank you for the message from your word. Help us to learn lessons from history. Help us to learn lessons from your word and to see the prophecies are coming about. That this is not just a story, but this is real. We can see the fulfillment of these promises in the world today. We can see Islamic empire rising. We can see what they're looking for. Those people want the mark of the beast. And you said in your word, don't take the mark of the beast. Everything that you've said in your word that is good is bad in the Quran, the Sunnahs, and the Hadith. Everything that's good in the Bible is bad to them. We can see the opposites. We can see the battlefield. Father, I pray if someone's out there and hears this message tonight, that they will come to you and beg for mercy and ask you to forgive them and save their souls. And also, if a saved child of God is out there, Father, I pray that they look up and listen and hear. You're at the door. You're at the door. In Jesus' name, we send this out. For thy sake, thy honor, and thy glory, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name, amen.